Lord, we thank you so much for opportunities to love you and to embrace you and to lay hold of you and to pursue you. And we thank you for everything, Lord, everything that quickens our heart to fight the good fight and to press in, Lord Jesus, to you, to bear you and to be with you in the ways of your nature and in practical situations, Lord, to press in, Lord, past our souls, past our bodies, past our normal responses that are based on our personal tendencies and personalities, but to press into the person of your Son who is in us. He's in there. And we want him to live. We want him to make you so happy, Father, and to come out to others. So, Lord, just let tonight be what you need it to be, what your heart needs, Lord, what your needs are. How can we pour the oil and the wine into your heart, Lord? That will be just what we need, because what we really need is to minister to you. Our need is you, Lord. And we know that when we come and we behold you and we care for you, we notice you, and we enter into you with no thought of ourselves, Lord, then our greatest need is met, because our greatest need is more of Jesus. Not teaching, not answers to our souls, not methods to our minds, but the real living one who is within us. So Holy Spirit, take this time that we have tonight and do with it as you will, as according to the heart of God, in ways that will bring forth more of his life to his glory, to the glory of the Father through the Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I have my notes. I have had my notes for 4 weeks now. It has literally been since class, I don't know, 4 weeks, I think, that my notes have proven useless. Because the Holy Spirit has something greater than notes. He has the burden of the heart of God that he wants us to tune into by oneness and to experientially know, as veil after veil is lifted over the eyes of our heart, as we keep turning and turning to Jesus, away from teaching, away from our souls needing answers, away from every distraction, using them all to know him more, know him in oneness, experientially know the height, the depth, the length, the width, until we're filled with all the fullness of God that surpasses knowledge. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Hallelujah. I don't want to know the scripture. I don't even want to have it memorized. I want it memorized. But I want to be filled with all the fullness of God that passes all that. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we can know Jesus like this? Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm going to start with my notes. I want to go kind of, I'm not sure what God's going to do. I'm with him, but I would like us to pray some at the end. I would like us to pray and to release our faith and to release our hearts and to release the Holy Spirit from within us, to lift up the Jesus that is within us and one another, to activate the seeds that he's been sowing. You know, he's been sowing a lot of eternal seed in us through the eternal word planted by the Spirit of the living God, the word that is spirit and life in Jesus. Inside of our ground, our earthen vessel, it's him. And sometimes we need to activate those seeds so they just don't lay dormant and build a big pile of popcorn that's not popped. I don't know how to put it. Jesus isn't a big pile of seeds in our souls. He's spirit, he's life, he's the Lamb of God on the throne of our heart, pouring out like rivers of living water through his wounds. I mean, this Jesus, he's alive. He's not a pile of seeds. But sometimes we need to activate those seeds so they can release their innermost essence and break free from that husk of just teaching and things that were sown within us. But break loose from the confines of that dormant state in our inner man so that he can be life in us. And he can be released and sacrificed. And he can be set free in spirit and nature out from us. Our attitudes, our responses. You know, how wonderful would it be if that very same person that drives you crazy every day, those very same pressures that press on your soul all the time, the very same ruts that always come and you always fall into those, And yet something in your heart said, Lord, my faith is that I will not be the one responding the next time those pressures come from within and without. Your son is in there. Isn't that funny that we could have said, I will not do that. I'm going to focus on my willpower and I'm going to use my will for Jesus. And I mean, we have free will and we need to use it not to be Jesus, but to let Jesus be Jesus. You know, our will isn't there to become the supreme government of our heart. It's an organ within our spirit used to bow to the true king and give him place to rule and reign, live and move and have his being. Willpower is not a virtue. It's a door for Jesus to walk through. You can open it and you can shut it, and that's just about the end of you, because the rest is going to be H.I. beautiful him as your life coming through that door and living out of his temple to the world. So, you know, we're not just going to say, I'm going to will myself next time that situation comes to not, you know, not be upset, not do anything. Well, who gets the glory? Your glorified will does. No. Mm-mm. We're not going to get better. We're not going to try harder. We're not going to use our will to make it happen. We're going to allow Jesus to show up and be our life. He gets all the glory. He glorifies the Father. He always does the Father's will. See, that's not a teaching, guys. We could probably quote that like little parrots and have a Costa Rica full of Christian parrots quoting deeper life truths out of the tree limbs. And that just does not bring glory to God. What brings glory to God is Jesus living in us, really living. If you forget all your scriptures and Jesus sings through your heart his song of Lamb nature in selfless giving, now you've got a forest full of real songs with true creatures that are living and moving in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not talking about it. We want to get past all that. We want to press past the watchman. Remember that in chapter 3, she pressed past the watchman whom she was just trying to ascertain answers to the questions of the dark night of her soul. Lord, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm freaked out. There's no answers. Kelly will never stop teaching on this chapter. We're eternally stuck in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I'm tired of it. But man, maybe we're stuck, some of us, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And God's going to get us out, but for real. Just so I won't ever have to teach on it again. Just do it for that reason. Just get free in this area through Christ laying hold of him as your life, so we can go on to chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Lord, I need answers. We've talked about this. The Lord's brought it up, but here he is bringing it up again. I need answers. I need answers. And the watchmen have answers because they're really good in deeper truths, and they're counselors, and they've seen the Lord maybe. But they're answer givers, in my opinion. Right now, I'm looking at him as my answer giver. No. Pass them by. They got nothing for you in the dark night of your soul. Because the dark night of your soul isn't going to turn into morning until the day star dawns and rises in our hearts. We got to lay hold of life. That's the beauty of that dark night. It'll never end until the true morning comes, the true sun rises in our hearts and shines out of us, not into us through a watchman, not into us through a teaching tape, but out of us by spirit and nature. And we can run, we can use our wills. Our free wills. We can use our heart to love with our free will involved in that too. To keep pressing in the darkness of that night until we find him. The H, the I, the M, the person. Him. And we'll know. You go, how do I know? How do I discern what's him from what's a teaching, from what's my will trying to do it, from what's just someone telling me to do it, and I'm doing it with my sweetest attitudes that are just my sweetest attitudes. How can I discern all of that from him? Okay. It's a hard question because it's such an easy question. And I'm asking the Lord how to answer that, because how do you not? How do you not? I mean, he's so different than us. I have absolutely... The difference between what is Jesus and what is me is so vast. It's so vast. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And he was given of God, sent of God to show us the real Jesus. And he's not a deeper life teacher. The Holy Spirit is not a parrot parroting out deep truths. He is the Spirit of God, the third person of God, come from the depths of God, searched out the depths to breathe and unveil and form the Son. And if we can't discern, we can't tell the difference, we can cry out to the Holy Spirit, who is above all other spirits. Deceiving spirits, the spirit of pride and self and the old nature, he is above all the other spirits that could ever be discerned. He's the Holy Spirit, and he takes us to the Spirit of Christ. He brings us to the nature of Jesus. Here's the difference. Here's a practical difference. So you've got a roommate or a husband and a wife. The difference, if you could discern the difference in that person who you've been around a long time, if you're married or if you've been roommates for a good while, could you discern the difference between them parroting deeper life truths at you and the Spirit of the Lamb coming out of them in the way they treat you? Would you be able to discern the difference in that person? Don't think about the Bible or your own life. Just think about that one scenario. Could you discern the difference between what was that person in their old just personality, their old nature, that just them, not Jesus, spouting out deep truths at you, and the day you walk in the room and they're not spouting out deep truths, but there's another spirit in them that causes them to have another nature that results in different attitudes that produce certain words that are savored with a certain temperament that's coming from a certain kind of heart that's emanating out from the life of Christ within them. I believe everyone here and everyone that will ever listen to this can tell the difference. Heck, you come home when you're a little kid from school, you know when dad's having a bad day at work. You can discern dad's in a bad mood even before he says anything. You can feel the tension. You can be careful around. You don't need a PhD in clinical discernment. You don't have 2 years old. You don't have to be like, now what are the tells of dad and mom being upset with each other? What book do I read to comprehend when my mom and dad are having a fight? By 5 years old, you know when mom and dad are having a fight, and you don't even have to hear them fighting. You can discern there's issues. But now we have the Spirit of God who wants to teach us Jesus in a way where we can lay hold of him as our nature, our life, not just our teaching or our doings, but our being, his being in us, being him through us by nature and life. 1 John says, little children, you have the anointing in you. You know the Father. You do. That's scripture. John, precious John. He told that to the church. He's about 80, 90 years old. He's saying, little children, you have the anointing and you have the Spirit in you. You know the Father. You may not understand what he's saying, but you know him. He has a certain nature, a certain spirit. He's a certain kind. If we can discern on certain levels at such a young age, in the natural, and the natural man comprehendeth not the things of God, then how much more when the Spirit who is given of God, that we might know what eye cannot see, ear cannot hear, and heart cannot comprehend, but freely gives to us the things that are of God, out from his depths, that we might freely know him, those who love him. How much more can we not stop at the watchman, but pass by them until we find the him we really love, our first love, the lover of our true heart, the one who draws us out of ourselves, pushes us past the limitations that we've always said, I can go this far and no more. No, but when he appears, and not just in front of us, but within us, we can overcome through Jesus Christ. And before he appears in us, in his beautiful life, in spirit and nature, we can still love him. 1 Peter, last night, chapter 1, Pastor Randy alluded to a verse that says, having not seen him, yet loving him. And he gave a comment on what he considers could be a possible understanding of that verse. He didn't claim it was. He asked us to consider it. But loving him even before he appears, while we're still in the trial of our faith, running through the city streets, that corridor, if you listen to 1 Peter, class number 16, it's probably still on websites or somewhere to be found in years to come. But if we begin to say, he hasn't appeared in me yet, I'm still so full of myself and my soul is driving me crazy and all I want to do is feed my soul or alleviate my soul's demands or make things okay again or save my life from suffering and shame and uncomfortable things and things that will, and, you know, the soul's just all up running through those city streets and it's just crying out for relief and release and to get out of it and all that. But you pass by all these temptations to get free without getting Jesus. Oh, I could go to the watchman. Maybe they'll give me some deep truth that will make me feel okay in some part of my deeper life being where I'll feel spiritual, but I won't feel him. I will not have brought him into my mother's womb. I will not have him as my life, causing an altar to ignite inside of me and the lamb, the firstborn to be released. What happens in chapter 3, 7 through 9? She comes up out of the wilderness in torrents of smoke off the altar like he is coming forth, the lamb, the sweet savor sacrifice, the firstborn in sacrifice. Jesus as her life is coming out of her. She laid hold of him and the result is life is coming out of her, his life. That's because she passed by all those temptations to get out of jail free, but not get the lamb as life. She bought the wrong field. She took the wrong ticket. She said yes to the wrong answer. She stopped short of life. Wife of the lamb does not stop short of life. She doesn't. She wants him. She's not satisfied with answers. She's not satisfied with get out of your trial, but don't be with him. Don't have his life. Don't lay hold of him in your inward parts. It's not okay. With her, it's not okay. It's not. And it's so easy to get out of it. It's so easy to pass him by. It is so easy to walk right past Christ crucified, the one who's in you as your life, and go to the high mountain of teaching and the high mountain of ministry and the high mountain of looking okay and the high mountain of feeding your soul and feeling okay and deceiving yourself that you are okay and making yourself feel spiritual when there's no spirit of the Lamb coming out of you. And it's just so easy to pass him by. But she passed them by, chapter 3, verse 4, and she laid hold of him, chapter 3, verse 5 or 6, I don't have it here, one of those. And oh, how wonderful, oh, how lovely. We see the end of the chapter, or the beginning of the next, a wedding take place. I mean, he starts calling her my spouse shortly thereafter. We've talked about all this. I have notes for the next steps, but in chapter 3, verse 8, and we're, maybe these are some of the things we can pray about. So let's listen close so that I'm not just praying, but if there be but one who really wants the Lord and wants to lay hold of him, then actively engage through your will, your free will, your heart of love, to enter in and cry out unto God and let the Spirit answer those cries. We're fixing to do it. But let's look at a few points. What is fear in the night? Chapter 3, verse 8. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. Okay, just a couple thoughts. Number one, expert in war equals probably a lot of things. But what I just felt for us to emphasize tonight is soul wars. You've heard of Star Wars? You know, that's an epic thing. Star Wars has been going for a long time. And it's incredible, isn't it? Just wow, right? Spans the galaxies. Well, soul wars is even bigger. Yeah, soul wars. That'd be a great, great skit, by the way. We can just hold on to that in the future. Soul wars. Expert in war. Expert in not letting the soul survive the cross. Let's all say it together, but please do not unmute your mics. Expert in letting our souls not escape the cross. Let's say it one more time. Expert in war equals experts at our souls not escaping the cross. Yay. Amen. Hallelujah. It means those swords actually worked. They were applied to the flesh. Isn't that what the last class was just about? Circumcision. How about Gilgal? How about us walking in covenant with God and taking the sword and the knife and saying, I am crucified with Christ, but I want it to be real in my flesh. I want to bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, not the doctrine of the dying of the Lord Jesus. I want it to be real, and I don't want my flesh to be imitating the Lamb. I want my flesh to be removed, expert in war, holding my sword, hewing Agag to pieces, standing in Gilgal, worshiping the Lord, and dealing with my flesh by the cross of my own death, which was the cross Jesus died for me and as me, and I am taking it, not passing it by, not making it a doctrine, not forgetting about it because it was preached in July and I forgot everything that was said and now I wonder what Gilgal means. No, taking it beyond the teaching into the application, expert in war, holding the sword, applying it to my own flesh, walking in covenant with God, walking in what? A covenant as a wife, one who's walking in oneness where it's no longer her, it's him. She's not imitating him. She can discern between when it's her and when it's him because she's the love of his life. She knows when it's him. She knows him. She's his wife. My goodness. Come on. How many women, if you have fallen madly in love, and men, if you fell madly in love with a woman, how about if you would say one day, I can't discern her from the newspapers or the books on my shelf. I don't know. Who are you? Are you the book? Oh, maybe you're the plaque on the wall. Yeah. Oh, that picture of you, is that you? Oh, that writing about you, is that? No. Oh, you're the person. Oh, could I get so deceived? We've been married 20 years, and now I thought you were a book. I don't know. Come on. We have to do a little searing of our conscience. We got to mess our own minds up to make Jesus just a teaching. Let's repent of that. Let's pass that by. Let's lay hold of eternal life. Let's have the Lord. Let's love him with all our hearts and all our strength and all our soul, all our mind. Let's go for God. Let's transform this dark night of the soul into a wedding feast. She did. Let's make it more than the crisis of our faith and an altar of release through death, his dying in us. What can we do? We can do everything. When we start walking in covenant, it's on us to walk with him, to join with him, to apply him, to release him, to yield to him, to let him be him. Let's stir up those seeds that are in us. The teaching about all this means zero, zip, nothing. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. Lord, I had incredible teaching about the lamb. Yeah, but you lived as a goat. Depart from me. He's not dividing them in Matthew 24 by their teaching. Who had deep teaching about the lamb? Come to the right hand. But those who had wrong doctrines, go to the other. Yeah, no way. He didn't say that. He said, lambs to the right and goats to the left. We need to get the Lord by his nature. We need to lay hold of him like this Shulamite's doing. It's a beautiful thing of love. Fear in the night, self-preservation, self-protection, all these self things pushing us into the self mode that steals the cross from us. It steals the cross from us. You say, I don't know, my self gets out of control. Self-preservation and fear, self-pity, shame, self needing to rise, self-feeling hurt, self. I don't know. What's the problem? The problem is your self-life is stealing the cross from you. It's stealing the real, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that was made to transform us and bring us into his likeness, to bring forth Christ in us. That old slippery self in his soul life, he's trying to steal all of the treasure. And we have a free will to say no. You don't have to sit there and understand everything to say no. Counselor, I can't say no to my soul until the darkness is gone, until the shadows flee away. Just go leap on the mountains of Bethera without me because I'm just too messed up. That's the end of chapter 2 when he left. That's what caused the dark night of her soul. No way, man. No way. Who love him even before he appears. And I don't see you, I see me. I don't feel you, I feel darkness. I don't comprehend you, I feel terror and selfishness. And I'm pressed now by self-preservation, but you know what? I'm going to love you anyway. The devil and my flesh and my soul cannot stop my heart from loving Jesus, even if I don't see him, feel him, know him, and have any vestige of him coming out of me right now. I still love him. I'm still born again. He's still in there, and I can still say yes. You can waste a whole life letting the fear of the night keep you from entering into oneness, real, manifest, fruitful union, bringing forth his nature with the Lamb. You can let the night steal it all, but it's not the night that's stealing it. It's not the fear that's stealing it. You are choosing to let it. No, don't put it back on me. It's on everyone. The beauty of it all is God gave us free will. You can spend a lifetime trying to take your choices and put them on someone else's back. It's because of you. It's because of, you know, the internet didn't work and my power's going out and my brain's going. No! In all that we can choose to be with him. Whatever. This person did that to me. I've got issues. My sicknesses, they cause me. My mind isn't the, I don't have my situation in my home. No one can understand. No! You don't get to use all that as an excuse to not love Jesus. No way, man. I haven't seen him. I don't know him. I'm one of the... You can still love him. You can still love him. In the dark night of your soul. Before you're like Jeremiah said, man, I remember you when you went after me in a land not sown where nothing yet had grown. You sought me with your first love. First love doesn't have fruit. It has love. First love's a mess. First love's a barren person. First love's a field full of rocks and problems and clods of weeds. Yeah, I know there's no beautiful, fragrant fruit coming, but it loves them and the seed's in there. And that seed's going to start getting activated. And it's going to start breaking loose from the husk, because that love is going to start working. Faith is going to start working by that love. And it's going to start shaking it up and saying, I need to get the life out of those seeds. I need to break free from these shells that are holding those things in a dormant way. I need to let Jesus come forth from all that. I need to lay hold of eternal life. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to seek the steps that we each need to take, not the steps that God already took. That we need to take steps and start running through those streets and pressing past and laying hold and experiencing like where we began in this class, the height, the depth, the breadth, the width, the length, the fullness of God, that we might be filled. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It's our birthright. It's why we're sitting in front of a computer looking at a crazy lady through her phone and listening to her be ridiculous, except for the fact that we love Jesus, and it's not ridiculous if you love him. But you have that heart. That's why we're even here. So let's encourage one another and spur one another on, exhort one another while it's yet today, to hear what the Spirit's saying, not to harden our hearts, make excuses, and let it be less than. Let's hear what the Spirit's saying. Let's go. Let's enter in. Let's not be in unbelief. Let's enter in. Let's enter in through Jesus Christ. So if you feel to pray, I think now we're going to end the class part and start the prayer part, which may be short. I just don't know. I really wish I could see your faces. It's hard to just look at my phone. But is there anyone there that could unmute their mic and just say, hey, I want to pray, or I would like to be a part of the prayer, or pray for me, or is everyone already hung up and I'm talking to myself right now?
I want to be a part of the prayer.
Okay. We got a Deb. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Yes, please.
I got a yes.
A resounding yes from all three people at the Bible school.
Yes, please.
Yes. Oh,
awesome. Thank you, God. It's so cool. You're all on my phone. How y'all fit in that phone? You must be very crowded in there. I'm sorry. I'm being silly. Well, let's do this. You know what? I have had a month of the devil trying to limit the word and the movement of God through hitting the technology. And it's just been a blessing to learn Christ in that, and to be stirred up in my most holy faith to say, well, praise the Lord, I'm just, if you're going to push that much, then we're just going to go further then. Thank you for that encouragement. Praise the Lord, because, you know, I wasn't even going to pray tonight. But now we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to just go for God. And, you know, so we've got this phone, and it's so limited, I can't see anybody's face. But you know what? Forget it, man. We're going to find a way to get to Jesus. We are going to do it with technology, but most of all with our hearts. So if you want to pray, if you want to respond, I really don't care. Unmute your mic and just go. Let it flow. Who cares? We don't care. We're not here to have a great presentation on a Skype class. We're here to get to God. We need to do business. We want to redeem the time. We want to let the Spirit of God move in us and through us to get us on another level. And I'll just tell you, one of the reasons why I'm stirred up today is I was writing in my journal notes from last night's class. The Spirit of the Lord fell on me. I mean, fell on me and in me and just started stirring up those seeds. And I wasn't even thinking or waiting or asking. And I said, whoa, you are serious. You want to bring us into the real goodness of the land, the milk, the honey, the meat, the flowing rivers. You want to bring me into the living Jesus. You're not just sharing with me, are you, Lord? And the Lord's like, no, I'm serious. I really want to move right now. I am so, so ready. Let's go. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that it's not even about our desire. We're not even relying on our own love, our own desire, our own goodness, our own righteousness, our own condition. Us. No, not about us, Lord. We're coming based on the Spirit's desire to bring forth Christ in us to the glory of the Father. We are coming on the basis of the covenant between the Father and the Son that was before us and after us and is above us, but we want it to be in us, Lord. We're coming on the basis of God, and we pray in his name on the basis of what's in his heart and the things that he has done with his own hand, even determined in his counsels before the foundation of the world to do. Lord, it's not on the basis of us, but it's according to the desires of thine own heart, O God, and the yearnings therein that we come to you. And we ask, Lord, that the seeds you've been pouring into us day after day, and in the way you've done it by the words and words, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful words of life, words that our ears aren't even worthy to hear, to know you. You have, Jesus, the words of eternal life, words that will bring us into the eternity of the Father and the Son in the very spirit and way of their beings within us. And Lord, we just cannot stop at the teaching. We just cannot stop at our soul's pity party and fits. We cannot just be satisfied to sit in our room while you're living through somebody else leaping on mountains, Lord. We want you to leap through mountains in us. We want you to come out of us like rivers of living water. We don't want seeds on a big pile of popcorn in the bowl of our heart. We want Jesus released in life and nature and fragrance and essence and attitudes and ways that reach others and most of all reach you, Father. Lord, we will not be content. We love you even when we don't see you yet in manifestation or feel you or even think we know you. We love you and we are going to keep running and we're going to keep going. God, we ask right now that you would forgive us for constantly making excuses, searing our own consciences by deceiving ourselves that we're actually spiritual, settling for less than H-I-M, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would be free to move, start now, but continue for days and weeks and months in this area, Lord, of taking everything that's been sown into us and bringing forth Christ, Lord. And we just come against, if the enemy is coming in a spirit of passivity or dullness or just a heaviness, Lord, it's our place to press past that, to resist, to submit ourselves to the heart of the Father, to resist these things and to find the Lord, to press past and into the one we love until we find him, until he can go to the Father through us. Lord, we just ask that even beyond any words, it's not about the words or the correct prayers or the right angle. Lord, we just ask you to move by your Spirit. Do what you know to do in each one of us. Stir up our most holy faith, Lord. Let these things be so much more than teaching. We run through the streets of our heart. We run past our old ruts. We have faith and believe that we will, that we have hope that we're going to see Jesus manifest, just like it's been being taught in 1 Peter. Lord, we want to have hope that we're going to see Jesus come forth to the glory of the Father, and we're not going to just get depressed, and we're not just going to settle for less. We're going to hold on to that hope, and we're going to keep pressing and crying out, Lord. We're going to let it be real in us, not just teaching, not just some ship that passed in the night called this teaching on the first port, that teaching on 1 Peter, this teaching. No, Lord, God forbid that we let that happen when you're pouring out your heart, when you're opening your heart, when you're giving us your gold, Lord, we just can't do that to you. So we stir up our hearts, we stir up our faith, we cry out from our depths, Lord. We ask for you to move, and if you can't move in us, move in someone else. Get your Son in a real way, in the way, if we're just going to be selfish or we just can't get it, Lord, or it's just not in us, then Lord, do it in someone else. Let Jesus live through somebody. And if it's not here, someone at the other part of the world or in the four corners, wherever they are, Lord, let Jesus live. Let him really live. Let him manifest. Let him be everything you know he is and want him to be. And many sons, oh, by that one beautiful firstborn, in those many, many sons, Lord, let him come forth. Let him bring you glory, Lord. We cannot stop with ourselves. We cannot stop. We cannot lose this hope. We love you too much. So, Lord, just move in a fresh way now. Stir up your people. Stir up our faith and our hearts, Lord God. And let us redeem every day in brand new practical ways, Lord. Ways that will reach your heart. Ways that will stir up those seeds. Ways that will get us out of old ruts, Lord. We say no to all of it. And from the heart of our heart, we say yes to the Lamb of God, to the heart of the Father, to the work of the Spirit. Yes and amen. So be it. We agree in one. As it is in the heavens of your heart, so let it be in the earthen vessels of each one of us, Lord Jesus, and beyond. It's in your name, in your heart, in your righteousness, and in your desirings, and in your death, and in the finished work of that, that we pray, Lord, and believe. Amen.